street.
Зрители присутствующие.
Save this at Dennis' office, but I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, pussycat.
Point, 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 point
gas?
Yes.
Help? Are you there, man? Buddy?
Help, yes, dear.
Why don't you have a speech, and I'll see if the doctor's ready to see you.
How do you do, doctor? How do you do, doctor?
Oh, is she as pretty as Barbara?
Prettier.
Ah, fantastic. Send her right in.
This is the doctor. He will see you now.
How do you do, doctor?
Oh, nurse.
The year was 1967.
I fear that the only way to stop those possessed by the spirits of the book is through the act of bodily dismemberment.
The year was 1977. Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer from Georgia, became American.
I didn't want to fall asleep. I was in no pain, but I couldn't get up. I knew I was losing blood. I saw the blood coming out of my chest, out of my back. There was blood coming out of my arm. I could see blood coming out. I was starting to get cold and nervous.
I know. Use 10% of your blood, and you might be a little bit faint. It's like donating blood. No big deal. If you lose 20%, you might be a little bit faint, a little bit dizzy. The heart rate's certainly going to go up a little. Lose 40% of your blood, and you're in trouble. You're beginning to lose consciousness as a result of that.
You know, if you ever hear them inside an ambulance, that sound echoes. Today, I even hate that sound every time I hear an ambulance. While I was in the ambulance, the pain started. I knew I couldn't breathe. I knew I didn't want to fall asleep. Looking back on it, I think the pain kept me alive. It kept me awake. So I felt that if I fell asleep, I would die.
The usual situation is, we do not feel fear while the situation is going down. We are too busy surviving. It's after the situation is over that we perhaps experience the fear. And we have the shakes, the tremors, and other stress come down reactions.
In the hospital, in the emergency room, you're lying on this table. A couple hours before, you're a big federal agent. And now they strip your clothes off. You become like a piece of meat. And you say to yourself, why? Why me? Why? Why me? Why me? Why?
The emotional impact of vulnerability is confronted. And it is normal to experience a heightened sense of extreme anger, nightmares, flashbacks, anxiety, and other kinds of stress. It is important to realize that these are normal reactions.
You have to be prepared. This is not a game. It's not the movies. Guys, it's for real. If you're not scared, guys got problems.
What do you want to think about? Yourself. Getting mad, get up.
Spit at him.
Throw a glass at him. Do something and make sure that if you're going to go, he's going with you.
As important, equally important in my mind, is the ability to be prepared mentally that you're not going to take it. You don't have to go down and stay down. Don't let them put their hands on you. If they want to hurt you, hurt them worse first.
You're looking up and you can see it, still see things, see the sky and go through your life. If you react the correct way, you're going to stay alive. You got to do it to stay alive.
If
you are not prepared to go out there and use deadly force, and more importantly, to have it used against you, to come back from the shock of that and go on and to do your job, then today may be as good a day as any other for you to start selling life insurance or find some other honorable vocation.
But then play some rock!
That'd be embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You might want to drop that chump.
Are you off the floor yet?
I'm trying to catch my head right now.
Always have a feeling that he'll have any injury thing with you.
I knew that Dan was going off. But the guy was just standing there, and there was nothing to let me know that I was even hitting
him. You ever will be, and the wolf man you shall remain.
I knew I couldn't do it. Panic. I was expecting and wanted to think what was going on.
How do I tell someone who doesn't
know? I was so alive. And I knew that it was just a
strange noise, something out of the ordinary.
And again, it was trying to dial up the personality of the characters.
If you want a real tan this summer,
the audience is like,
get into step with the wife-saving wonders of Thai.
Two, I'm you to an exciting and imaginative way to sell your product.
Go with American Airlines.
The safe way to travel.
Why don't you?
Trade in your food
for American Airlines.
Your favorite is not because of the fabulous line of
Echo Dance
Dance.
If a
Wrong wire. audiences worldwide lined up to see it. It was a huge hit. Following video essay, the author wants to provide one answer to the question why this is so successful. Several psychoanalytical theories.
Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer from Georgia, became America's 39th president. Disco became the sound of the times as Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta, and the Bee Gees were rocketed into the limelight. Two legends died.
Ah, the Goofy. I know that.
Turn to your scheduled program.
Basically, that's what I'm looking for.
It just like you know what I said. It must be the push the car in the bottom of the furnace to boil water to make steam. This steam is then to...
Good call. Lift the sewer.
We can.
Yes, ma'am?
What's it like living near a nuclear plant?
It's about time you started associating. It's been a pleasure.
That's a good question.
Wherever nuclear plants are located, Americans are finding them good neighbors.
billions of other atoms.
Yeah, who have you shot?
Prepare for subliminal
puzzle radio program.
Prepare for subliminal
puzzle radio program.
Prepare for subliminal puzzle radio program. Prepare for subliminal puzzle radio program.
Buying and ordering do not increase your chance of profit.
Ted was so happy, he began to laugh with pure joy. Snoopy joined in with the sound of icicles tinkling. Everyone was full of laughter and light as they passed the merry dancers. Twinkling.
Hi, this is Lucy, and my guest today is Miss Julie Newmar. As many of you know, Julie plays the role of a female robot in the new TV series Living Doll. But take it from me, Julie is no mechanical tinker toy. This statuesque, brown-eyed blonde is the epitome of a real, live, breathing, living doll, if I ever saw one. Her beautiful face and fabulous figure have helped to make her one of the most popular young actresses on Broadway and in Hollywood. Julie, darling, I'm delighted that you had time to drop by today.
Oh, thank you. It's a great honor for me, Lucy.
Well,
you have no idea.
Well, thank you. You know, statuesque is truly the word that describes you, Julie. The first time I saw you walk across a studio lot, I said, she walks like a dancer. And someone said, she is. She's a very fine dancer. I understand that's how your fabulous career started, actually.
Well, it did. Actually, it was my mother who got me started dancing. She was in Ziegfeld Follies, and she wanted to give me all the kind of lessons she didn't have, you know. She was in the Follies with Marilyn Miller. So I must have had acrobatics, Spanish, character, Rue St. Denis, ballet, toe. I remember taking 8 classes on Saturday just in dancing alone.
That's a lot of classes, but did you really resent it, or did you
mind it? Oh, no, not at all. I just did everything I was told, and I'm very glad that it worked out that way, because I think that it's the best preparation for acting, because you have use of your body that, without training in either dance or mime or whatever men do in particular sports or things, you haven't the facility to work, particularly in comedy. Wouldn't you say that?
Of course, I know it's very important, but at an early age, children sometimes resent the fact that, I know my daughter complains if I get too many lessons going for her, because I feel the way your mother did, that expose them to a teacher now and then, and let's see if they can keep up an interest in something like that.
Having you as a mother, they wouldn't need a teacher, because just observing you is enough learning.
You'll find out, Julie, when you have children of your own, that they pay no attention to you, they still have to have a teacher. They don't really want to compete with you, you know. The training that you did have, because your wonderful mother, who incidentally, I understand, was a Ziegfeld Follies beauty.
Yes.
What was her name in the Follies?
Helen Jesmer.
Helen Jesmer.
Yes.
Beautiful name, and I understand one of the most beautiful women that ever walked across Ziegfeld's stage.
Oh, Eddie Cantor said she had the most beautiful legs in the Follies.
Well, I should like to meet her sometime. Do your family...
They live out here.
They live here?
Yes, about 10 minutes away.
Perhaps you'll let me meet your mother and your dad sometime.
Oh, she'd be so delighted.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a very brilliant brother who goes to Harvard now. He graduated in astrophysics at Caltech and has all kinds of awards from all around from the country, and right now he's in political psychology. I'm terribly proud of him, as you can tell.
Aye, and it's very impressive sounding. What is his age?
He's 22.
Is he an older 22. Brother?
That's very nice, too. No, he's very much younger.
Have you always been tall, Julie?
Yes.
Did it bother you at any time, like it does some children? I have tall children also.
It bothered me until I had a kind of inner confidence about who I was, until I learned who I was.
And when was that? When did you learn who you were and how?
I think it took about 7 years, and it started about the age of 20. It's a gradual kind of getting to know yourself, and you stop imitating, you stop emulating other people. You know, I'm sure painters do that. They copy Rembrandt, or even comedians copy you. I know I do.
Thank you. It's a wonderful
feeling,
isn't it?
But I know that I so much, you to me are the greatest comedian in the whole world. Everyone else says that too.
Thank you. But it is a wonderful feeling when you get to sort of know yourself.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It's a great inner feeling.
Yes, that's right. It's a certain thing that I found just the other day as I was working on The Living Doll. And in the 16th week of shooting, I found what we in acting call our consciousness, the thing which moves you from inside out, which gives you, in which you can do no wrong. You know?
I should think being a robot would be one of the most difficult things to do in the acting profession. And especially anyone as lively and as... Oh, really earthy as you are, Julie, as we know you, you know, bouncing and gay and wonderful. I should think that it would be sort of a pull down every day to be a robot.
It's a curious thing to play something that you feel you are the opposite of.
Yes.
And yet it is marvelous, because then you can build up something and...
feel an accomplishment?
Yes. Oftentimes, once in a while I played parts of really witchy women, really evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite think of myself like that.
Of course
not. But I find that there's a freedom in doing that and letting out what witchiness there is in me. And there is every element, every coloration in a person's emotion. We are all from good to evil. We have everything. It just depends upon what we show and what we demonstrate, kind of like exercising muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But I find out in letting that out, there's a tremendous richness and a wonderful freedom that is sometimes even richer than trying to behave like what I think I am.
A little hard for the layman to understand.
Do you understand that?
I think I understand most of it.
Well, they often say, they often say that a person who in real life is really very kind can play heavies on the screen and do them so very well. And so oftentimes the opposite. Those who play all the nice, sweet, little, wonderful, kind little girls are really impossible women to work with.
Yeah, I know. I want to quickly jump to your decorating.
Funny.
arts. You seem to have a great pride in your New York penthouse.
Oh, I love to do everything. I love to paint and sketch, and I design all my own clothes, you know. I like to cook and do all sorts of things.
Where did you learn all that?
From my mother.
From your mother?
She's very artistic.
She sounds like a fabulous woman.
You're a good cook, I'll bet just bet.
Well, good plain cook. If I had more time, I
think... Yes, that's it. But you have it with you. You know, you have it there.
I like to cook, and I'm teaching my children to cook. I think it's a marvelous thing for both boys and girls to learn.
Yes.
Do you sound like you've had a wonderful childhood and a wonderful life?
Well, particularly right now. And I think the most extraordinary part I've ever had is this living doll, because it's presented the biggest challenge to me. And I think the more someone asks of me, the happier I am in trying to fulfill that. I would say that I am at my happiest now.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. You're really trying to please, aren't you?
Yes.
At the moment, you are staying in California, of course, because of your work. But I understand you have traveled a great deal. Yes. What's your favorite country? Besides America, of course.
I'm very much at home in England, because people there are so basically and innately kind. They so desire to please people. There's such warmth that you feel you can go out even further to them. You can open up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel so comfortable.
What about Spain?
Spain is curious. It's changed. I just came back from there, as a matter of fact, bought about 25 new dresses from new couturier that I discovered, which is kind of great fun.
Are you that interested in clothes, Julie, besides the ones you designed for yourself?
No, but don't you on television have to have an awfully big wardrobe, don't you?
Yes, I do for various things. I'm not terribly interested in clothes, but I must say if I had found someone that was, you know, real great for... I don't know. I like to be so relaxed in my own living that I don't really care about clothes. Of course, I have to have them for when we do go out, and I happen to be married to a man who is... very cognizant of the well-dressed woman and what she should wear, so he puts me to shame quite often.
I always wanted to ask you, because you wear slacks a lot, does that help you to play comedy or because you feel free?
I feel free in them. I feel I need every free moment that I get, and I feel freer in that type of clothing, what I call station wagon clothes, you know, relaxing clothes. Julie, you are a font of many things that I would like to probe. Would you come back again?
Oh, thank you so much.
Our time is up for today, and want you back because I've got a million questions to ask you. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
I have been talking to Miss Julie Newmar, star of Living Doll, and she sure is one. Bye. Bye.
Makes me want to do all the things I find. Oh, my dear love, if I think about how to work it. their money now.
The next night, this guy right now calls me and says, Tom, I love you, I love you,
remember,
I love you.
Crazy, not stupid.
And she's living with a guy named Steve.
Light, dark, as if quiet.
Deep down.
Look at the weatherman.
You know what?
He's still around, right? The weatherman?
Have a nice day. Enjoy your freakout.
On the way to Mars, they carefully rolled through an asteroid belt of planetesimals, passing closely by an exhausted planet, still shining faintly in the darkness. A cool old red giant was expanding the scanner room when the blue-hued pilot told Ted to take over the controls. They flew through space like a dream.
Hello?
It's a way of saying, despite how deeply I'm living in my own head right now and thinking about my jokes, you just said something that runs through that wall of me.
I built this city on rock and roll.
Dropping the emphasis at the end of sentences.
Well, could
these
portals, could these portals just appear anywhere at any time?
I think that's brain.
No, I think we're just talking. Well, if God controls time, then all time's free to decide.
I'm not following.
Every living thing follows him on set path.
Some guy, he's coming up from behind us. Stop the show. He's saying stop. Okay, let's pick up the speed. Let's outrun this sucker. I don't know what he wants.
What was that? Taste. I need something tasty.
Sprite. We'll do something that I'm going to blow this year. I'm going to blow some.
The fish.
Blow a horn.
Okay,
we'll see you, man.
Hey. We work with what we have. The other Richards
also. Yeah, don't give me the fact.
The world will end.
Some religion, Mr. T.
I channel Mr. T, yeah, for a fee. I channel Mr. T for a fee. Hit it. I channel Mr. G for a fee. I channel Mr. G for a fee.
So if you could channel Michael Pendergast.
In your hands, Dan. It's not a way.
There it is, in the middle of the lunch hour. Those guys have to test the equipment.
Absolutely free of sword and sword.
Now's the time to start the implanting generation seals.
Three turkeys and three Christmas trees.
You know, there's no doubt.
Oh,
Starting with the left.
And if we succeed, we'll succeed, you know, fabulously. But if we fail, at least we'll fail spectacularly.
Il est midi.
C'est l'heure de déjeuner.
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a à manger?
Des saucisses.
Écoutez et répétez. À midi. À midi. À midi.
Quelle heure est-il? Quelle heure?
Il est midi.
C'est l'heure.
Now what you put on the last track is up to you.
While in space, we speculate what is appearing at the top is a kind of script unreal to us. We see that these hieroglyphs form the movie's title.
Strip back left, back with the right, back with the left, and together with the right. Three? Yeah, go. Okay.
If you want to big in the country.
Wait! Let's try the walking
conception
step.
Is a first hint of what we have to expect.
There's nothing to prevent.